Number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. I want to thank you for listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located in Vilas, North Carolina on 1128 Baird's Creek Road. That's 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we're just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits. So we'd love for you to come be with us in any or all of our services. If you would like to know more information, you could call our church phone number, 828-963-4596. And if we are not there, we just leave a message. We'll get right back with you. But that's 828-963-4596. Or you can go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. I want to take just a moment to welcome all of our listeners on our different radio stations. We certainly appreciate the opportunity to be on KPGT. That's stands for Proclaiming God's Truth. This is a FM radio station, 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We do appreciate Brother Lamar Whittemore, the church ministry of having the radio station. What a blessing that is. And so we appreciate them and try to pray for the ministry and the radio ministry out there. And we certainly enjoy the opportunity to bring the blessings of liberty and be heard in Watertown, South Dakota, and the surrounding region there. And then we're also on 690 AM WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. I first went on WZAP in 1995. We're going to come up on 19 years that we have been on WZAP. There was a little stretch of about 4 years where we were not. We were serving as a missionary in the state of Idaho. But we certainly appreciate all the folks at WZAP. They've been so faithful down through the years. And we appreciate the radio station, the listeners from that area. And then, of course, right here in beautiful Boone, North Carolina on AM 1450 WATA. And I want to say today that our prayers are going out to all those who've lost lives and homes and businesses and property in the tornadoes and the storms this week that have just went across our country and probably will be more today. So we need to pray for those that are going through troubles like this. But today we're going to continue our study on the subject of the Bill of Rights. We studied the Constitution, and we went right into a study on the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments is generally called or known as the Bill of Rights. I've been lingering on the First Amendment. I did not mean to take this much time, but there's a lot of things that I wanted to cover, the history behind the First Amendment. There are actually five parts to the First Amendment, and I'm just going to read it. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So there's five parts to the First Amendment. Last week, we made the point, and we said that if there's any hope for America, we must ensure that our First Amendment right of free speech must not be stifled. It is very important to our freedoms. It's very important to solving problems in our nation that we have the right of free speech, that we have the right to peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. I heard somebody say last week that if you complain about the government, you're complaining about yourself, because we the people are actually the government. But free speech is very important to solving problems in our country. There has to be the allowance for an opposing view. And our government was set up this way, that things would move slowly, that there would be a check of balances in our in the power in the government, that there would be debate between the different viewpoints. So free speech is very important. Pastors, churches, patriotic citizens, the politicians who have the best interest of our country in mind, instead of just towing the party line along, they must be free to speak the truth. Truth is a great liberator, and we are interested in liberty. That's why we call it the blessings of liberty. But we have to have truth in order to have liberty. I quote this quite often, John 8, verse number 32. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And, of course, we could spiritualize that and say, well, that's just talking about spiritual matters. That's talking about individual soul salvation, and it is, but it also applies across the board politically. Truth brings freedom. Truth is a great liberator and protector of liberty. George Washington, our first president, said this: if freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. And so he recognized the great importance of freedom of speech. If it's taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. Now, free speech is subtly under attack in America. And we see examples of this all round about us. I mentioned last week, and I'm not going to go over the whole thing again, but we just talked a little bit about how the IRS, how that the government uses the IRS as a political tool to stifle free speech in America, to quieten down political enemies, and basically just keep people in line. And it's applied to conservatives. Right now, there's a great controversy in the nation concerning the IRS and the Tea Party movement. But, you know, if you look at it historically, the IRS has been used to stifle Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals. I mean, it just really depends on who is in power. This is one reason why I do not believe the IRS, anything will ever be done to fix the problem, because it's used across the board. Until the American people wake up and recognize what's really going on, it'll always be a problem. Well, it's used by the government. People are afraid of it. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to get audited. They don't want to get looked at. So free speech is kept to within certain boundaries. And you'll never hear some people, the biggest personalities, we might say, you'll never hear them criticize the IRS. They don't want to get involved. Well, we talked about that last week. But let's think a few minutes today about another tool that is used to curb free speech and political enemies. And what I'm talking about is the accusation of racism. That's what I'm going to talk about today. This is used to curb free speech in our nation. The accusation. And that's, I want to stress what I'm talking about, to accuse somebody of being racist. They don't really have to be racist. Their words or thoughts can be taken out of context, and they can just simply be accused of being racist, and it stifles free speech. Now, racism, you look up the definition. This is from the New Oxford American Dictionary, and it says that racism is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on such belief. Now, there is such a thing as racism, and I wouldn't say that there's not. We all realize that. Racism is real, and it is a problem in every society and every country in the whole wide world. And sadly, it always has been, and you know what? It always will be. There will always be certain aspects of racism in the world. And the only real answer for racism is found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible. puts everybody on the same level, white, black, Jew, Asian, American, European, it does not matter. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and you have to realize when you read the Bible, when you read the New Testament, they did have slavery. They did have prejudice. The early church, I'm talking about the book of Acts, the early apostles, they were all Jewish. Well, if you read the New Testament, what you're going to find out is they had to overcome their prejudice against the Gentiles. They were racism even back then. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, and others as well, but I'm just going to read one verse out of the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse number 28. He addressed this subject of racism and slavery and freedom and bondage. He said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek." That was a reference to a Gentile. "There is neither bond nor free." That's talking about somebody that was a slave or was not a slave. He said, "There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, I've been in a lot of churches over the years. I was in the military. We were in a church overseas in the country of England, and 90% of the people in that church were military. They were in the military is what I'm saying. And you know what? We had all kinds of races in that church, all different. We had English people, American people. We had white people, black people, Asian people. If you've ever been around a military base, you know our military goes all over the world. Some of these men, women, they had English spouses. They had Asian, Korean, Japanese, Filipino, you name it. We had that in that church. And you know what? We all got along wonderfully together, not because of our differences, but because of what we had in common in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel deals with the subject of racism. No other group, no other religion can claim that in the world. Islam certainly cannot make that claim. If you look at what's going on in the Muslim countries around the world, they are killing Christians, Jews, anybody that's not like them, homosexuals. They are killing them daily. I'm talking about on a daily basis, sometimes slaughtering Christians, whole villages, burning churches, all of these things. And so racism is a problem. Thankfully, there is a cure. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I am referring to is not real racism, but again, the accusation of racism. This has come up many, many times in the past few years. The GOP, talking about the Republicans and individuals in it that have criticized or been critical of the president's policies over and over again, have been accused of being racist. Harry Reid has done it. Nancy Pelosi has done it. Eric Holder. We could go on and on and on talking about how that they have accused those who do not agree with the president's policies. They have accused them of being racist. What they basically say, and this is not a quotation, but just summarizing the way of thinking, well, if you're critical of the president, if you're outspoken against anything that he does, well, you're just that way because you're a racist. That's what they do. And nobody in this day and time, in 2014, in this decade or the previous decade, which we are living in, nobody wants to be labeled a racist. That is one of the worst things as far as our society is concerned. It's one of the quickest ways to shut somebody up, shut them down, is just by labeling them or accusing them. Oh, you're just that way. You don't agree because you're a racist. You don't like the president because you're a racist. You're against health care. You're against the immigration. You're against, you know, you're just racist. You don't like him because of his color. And it doesn't really matter if that is a true statement or not. Just the labeling, just the accusation shuts people down. If you're against amnesty, for example, if you're against illegal immigrants, and there's a movement to just grant amnesty and say, oh, you're here illegally, but you know what? That's okay. Well, if you speak out against that as being a bad idea, which it is, by the way, and the reason they want to do that is because they will obtain millions of votes by doing that, is a political maneuver. Well, anyway, if you're against that, you're that way because you're a racist. That's the accusation that is labeled against you. I was not surprised, and I have spoken about this in the past few weeks, about Mr. Cliven Bundy, the Nevada rancher, and the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, how they came in. Well, he gained a lot of publicity in the past several weeks, and people were actually beginning to listen to what he had to say. So this past week, I was not surprised to see an accusation of racism made against him. And it's been in the editorial parts of the newspaper, and those who were supporting him. And, you know, he has a legitimate claim. And this is not some crazy person that's just off his rocker. He's done his homework about the history of our nation, about the Constitution, states' rights. He's very well informed, but he said something, and boy, they turned that around and accused him of being racist. And the result of that, and I've listened to what he said, it was not racist what he said. He was making an example, giving an example or illustration, and I don't have time to go into it. That's not my point here today, but he's not a racist. He was making a point, but the result of just being accused of racism, the media has now an excuse to ignore him and everything he says, and everybody like him that has a legitimate concern for their land, for government intrusion upon their land. The media now can just say, we don't have to pay any attention because he's been labeled a racist. There's been big news this past week about Mr. Sterling. He's the owner of the Clippers, the NBA basketball team. Now, something you've not heard a lot about, Mr. Sterling, he's a Democrat. He has been a big contributor to the NAACP for his support. He's given a lot of money, but he said some things to his, I guess, his girlfriend, fiance. But anyway, she's in her 30s. He's in his 80s. He met this lady and broke his first marriage, failed. But anyway, she is, and I'm quoting the news, she is half black. Well, he said some things to her that he shouldn't have said, and I'm not justifying anything he said about black people whatsoever. I'm not justifying that. You've probably heard that if you know anything about the news, but I'm telling you, that's all you've heard is about him. They're going to make him sell the team. All these things are it's been just plastered all over the news, the newspapers. But I want to say this, frankly, I'm sick and tired of hearing about racism in the news. And I'm going to say something that is never said, but it really needs to be said. And here's what I want to bring out. The biggest racists and hypocrites in the whole wide world are those who claim to be progressives, open-minded, those who are liberal in their thinking, who use the accusation of racism. They are very quick to do that. Oh, you just don't agree with the president because you're a racist. But they do that to stifle free speech. People like President Obama, Eric Holder, the head of the Department of Justice, they are at the top of the list. And here's why they're at the top of the list, because they could say something to make a difference, but they won't do it. Now, we live in a society where if you are a white person and you utter the N-word, you say the N-word, you are labeled the scum of the earth. And I'm not promoting using the N-word. I'm just saying it like it is. Boy, if you use the N-word, you're at the bottom of the barrel as far as humanity is concerned. You remember Paula Deen last year, the cook, the chef on Shatter TV show, and all this line of merchandise and things. And boy, somehow it came about that she was accused of being a racist. And she admitted that in the 1980s, she had used the N-word. She had been robbed. And some way around in that, she'd used the N-word. And boy, she lost everything she had, lost her job, lost her contracts. She came out crying and apologizing for using that and said when she was growing up, she never used that. And it was just a, you know, but boy, they just cut her off. She's a scumbag, according to the news and everything, because she used the N-word 30-some years ago. But here's the hypocrisy of it all. Black people, not all of them, but certainly enough that it's a major industry, they use it all the time. They use it all the time, referring to each other. That's the hypocrisy of it all. They use the N-word all the time. I've witnessed it personally when I was in the military. Me, another a black fella, and a Mexican fella, we all went to our first duty station together. We all had the same job. We were friends, and they called us the Three Amigos. We got along great together. We had a great time and good friends, but they called us the Three Amigos. I was a white guy, then this is the black guy, and then the Mexican guy, and that's who we were. And my black friend, he was, when he would get around his other black friends, they were all the time calling each other the N-word. And I said, I notice y'all call each other this all the time. I said, would it be all right if I called you that? Boy, he said, you'd better not. I said, why not? What's the difference? And he didn't have an answer to that. But you see, they do this all the time. And if you don't believe me, if you don't believe what I'm saying to be true, you just find some rap music and listen to it. Listen to the words. You will be shocked and amazed. Now, I don't like rap music. I've never listened to it. But I am a member of a gym. And I started going about 9 or 10 months ago. And at first, you know, they said, do you have any preference to the music? You know, when it was a small class. And I said, anything but rap. I don't like it. I don't want to hear it. Well, over the months, you'd come in sometimes and it would just be on. I begin to notice, and I've never listened before, but I begin to notice some of the lyrics, some of the words, what they were saying. And I'd never been around it. I'm 44 years old. I've never listened to it. I just don't like it. I don't want to hear it, but I didn't really know what they were saying or talking about. But rap music is the most vile, hateful, degrading, offensive, racist. Well, you talk about being racist. Rap music is racist. It's belittling to a race of people. It's profane. It is violent. It is immoral. It's the most wicked noise you've ever heard in your life. And I'm naive about it. I didn't know. I mean, when I first heard some of this, what was going on, I couldn't believe that people actually listened to this in the year that we're in. I mean, they use the N-word, the F, it's awful. And it's just common. They talk about drugs. They talk about killing one another, shooting one another, shooting cops, killing cops, cracker this. And I mean, awful, awful. Calling women all kinds of derogatory things. And I'm not going to go into all that. You can imagine what I'm talking about. And I'm going to be out of time quickly, but I could not believe how violent, how belittling rap music is. And when I begin to know a little bit about what was going on in the rap music world, it changed my mind about when I hear them talking on the news about somebody being accused of racism. Until they begin to address racism among themselves, when politicians begin to talk about, when the president begins to talk about, hey, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be calling each other this. Maybe the rap music people need to be boycotted. You know, they say, well, it's a genre and It's the way their society is. Well, listen to some of that. Maybe they need to change the way society is. I'm not being mean in saying that, but I'll tell you, it's just an eye-opener. Until the president, until the Democrats, until Hollywood begin to address that problem. Because I heard some of it one day, and I said to somebody beside me, I said, I can't believe what they're saying. I said, it's no wonder people go out and shoot and kill each other and rape one another. Listen to these lyrics. And I'm not giving examples, but I'm telling you, it's awful. But until Hollywood and the Democrats, I'll say it again, and the president, the progressives, until they come out and say, there's a problem here, then anything that they say concerning racism, as far as I'm concerned, will fall on deaf ears, because they're all a bunch of racist hypocrites using the accusation of racism to get opponents to be quiet, because nobody wants to be labeled that. That is wrong. And racism, the accusation of racism, is simply, when you hear that, I hope it will change your way of thinking. When you hear people being accused of being racist, I hope it will change your way of thinking. Because this is glorified. This is glamorized. This is protected. This using this N-word by certain people. Other people, you know, you're the scum of the earth. But, you know, until that begins to change, racism is always going to be. It needs to change with those that are the most guilty. But when you just use that to get somebody to be quiet and say, oh, you're just a racist, that's why you don't agree with what I'm trying to do. No. I've said many times, I don't care if the president's purple. If he'd do a good job, I'd be for him. That's got nothing in the world to do with it. But if you say much, if you're very critical, you will be accused of being a racist. And boy, you watch how people shut up when they accuse them of that. And so it's a lot of hypocrisy when people come out. And the ones that are the most guilty are the ones that scream it the loudest. Racism, racism. They proliferate. They perpetuate this idea in our society. Well, I want to read a verse out of Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Anger is something that causes more anger. And rap music is some of the most angry music I've ever heard in my life. A furious man, that's a violent person. Violent thoughts, violent actions, violent words aboundeth in transgression, is what the Bible says. Verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Then verse 24, whosoever is partner with a thief hateth his own soul, and heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. That word bewrayeth, it means this. It means to disclose it publicly. I'm telling you publicly today, I'm not going into great detail, but I'm saying rap music perpetuates real racism. That society, that culture needs to be addressed before people go out here and start accusing other people of being racist just because they oppose somebody's views. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. I do want to say this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We'd love for you to come and visit with us, be in any or all of our services. Our church phone number is 828-963-4596. And then our church website is mtlebanonbc.org. That's Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And so we appreciate you listening in today. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.